Blog Talk Radio.
When my daughter Hope was young, she was a straight A student.
I was a normal, regular kid. I loved to do theater. I loved soccer and cheerleading.
Hope was filled with innocence, joy, and ambition.
When I was 14, my whole life changed.
My daughter Hope was kidnapped by sex traffickers. Hope was forced into prostitution.
It all started because I posted on a social media site that I hated my mother. A woman messaged me back telling me that I'd go stay with her and we'd go partying. She showed up within the next 45 minutes and I was gone.
The suspects target girls who post comments about a negative home life on social media sites and chat rooms.
The 14-year-old, oh, I hate my mom. She doesn't understand me. I can't wait to get out of here.
That's how police say William Jacobs and Shayla Williams met a young North Texas victim who was just 14 years old.
I walked into the motel room. I see a man sitting in the corner. The first thing that came out of his mouth was, take off your clothes so we can take these pictures. And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna take my clothes off. He said, so you wanna do this the hard way? He hit me a couple times and after that I was out like light. I woke up in the closet.
The closet that I was in was about the size of me right here.
After they took me out the closet, they took crushed up pills and they forced them down my throat.
After they force fed me pills, I would try to move my body, but I couldn't pick myself up.
They made me feel catatonic. After they drugged me, I had my first client.
Hope says she knew if she wanted to make it, she had to find a way to cope.
In order to survive my kidnapping, I had to create an alter ego. They told me that my name wasn't Hope anymore. It was Sophia, so that's the name that I took on. Sophia is the girl that walks with her head high. She was the one who dealt with all the clients and the Johns and beatings. When I was with the traffickers, they never fed me. My source of food would be picking it out of the trash, drinking the water from the faucet. I bit my nails a lot. One time I was taking a shower and he busted it open and beat me with the belt because I locked the door.
The couple is accused of trafficking the teen in 8 different states in only a 3-week period.
The traffickers made me sleep with men in each state, over 20 men a day. I could never be Hope again after that. I was never going to be the same girl.
Hope's mother says her daughter's terrifying ordeal claimed more than one victim. She says at times she feels just as traumatized as her daughter. She also says before today, Hope has never wanted to share her story or any specific details about what happened.
Hope's not the only victim.
Good evening, everybody. You are tuned in to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. As you see, tonight we are talking about sex trafficking in the United States of America. Ayanna.
Man, that's crazy.
That's crazy, that's but crazy. That's a real life true story.
And I'm just going to be up front with, you know, the folks that be listening to us and just let them know, like, I'll admit that before you talked about this topic, I don't want to say I was ignorant to the fact that it existed. But I was truly, truly ignorant to how large this really is in the U.S. And I think I'm not alone in that. I think as some of us, we live in bubbles and we don't really realize what's really going on, like really going on in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I've seen it in movies, you know, but I really just did not know how, I don't want to use the word popular, but how deep this really runs. You know what I'm saying?
Very deep.
I'll admit, I was ignorant to it. You know what I'm saying? And since we've decided to talk about it, I've heard a couple of stories. So it's just amazing to me that the things that go on in this world that we are naturally oblivious
to. We are ignorant to.
Yeah, it doesn't affect our day-to-day lives. You know, I just left a 8th-grade basketball game, and any one of them girls could be in the situation of Hope, just like that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Just like that. And that's deep, yo. Like, for real. That's deep.
And the crazy thing is, even though we see these little girls and all day and they're running here and they're running there, it's not just a little girl thing. They are grabbing boys. You know, any young adult, it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, you can be a victim of sex trafficking.
Yeah, I read the average age teenagers enters the sex trade in the U.S. is being between 12 to 14 years old. Now, it does say that many of the victims are girls that are sexually abused, but the word many does not say all.
Does not say all.
Like,
absolutely.
And per the girl's story that we just listened to, she's posting on Facebook or
social
media. How much she hates her mom. You know what I'm saying? And every girl has gone through that. You don't get along with your mama. I mean, not every girl, but most of us go through that. It's, you know, that you get that hormone rush and you thinking you're grown and y'all don't get along or whatever.
You don't want to pay, you don't want to listen to the rules. You want to do what you want to do, especially when you get in those double digits. You know, I don't have time for this.
It's
a bird.
Like, parents really have to work on breaking down those barriers with their kids, because you post on social media, I don't like my mom, But here's the thing, as a kid, you know your friends that's following you, right? But you don't know everybody else that's following you. So you go to the mall.
Or who follows your friend.
Right. You post, I'm at the mall, I hate my mom, she didn't give me no money at the mall. And guess who approaches your daughter or your son at the mall? It's this predator. You know what I'm saying?
The predators, they're looking for those kids that hate their mom.
Yes.
Or the misfits, or the introverts, those that eat by themselves for lunch.
They're looking. It's a hunt. You know what I'm saying? It's like a tiger or a lion. They go after the weakest gazelle. They don't go after the strongest one. They go after the weakest one. And this is no different. It's a hunt. They're looking for somebody who's already broken, where all I can do is just break them down a little bit more, or give
just a little
them
bit more
something they don't have. You know what I'm saying? A little attention. Because, you know, it's not like you used to hear the stories of, you know, like, don't take candy from strangers. You know what I'm saying? The kids, really, it's not like that no more. They not approaching your kids in the park unknown. They knowing them. They knowing everything about them. They knowing who they with, where they hang, what they they know everything because they're watching them.
And they're watching and they're studying and they're recruiting, because while I was doing research, I ran across an article where even in the juvenile systems, they have people like the workers that work there that are getting, you know, close to these kids, talking to them like, okay, when you get out of here, you know, you don't have to go back home. You know, I got a place for you to stay, this, that, and other. And they are pretty much coercing these kids straight out of the juvenile center that are in the juvenile center for stealing, fighting, stuff like that. And they're, you know, okay, you don't want to go home. Your mom is going to whoop you. You're going to be on punishment, this, that, and the other. When you get released, you can go to this house. And it's a group of people at this house waiting to sell them for sex. We have a lot of sick people in this world. Like, this is the craziest mess ever. We have a lot of sick people in this world who would take advantage of children or young adults. Because, I mean, even though it starts at 12, it goes up to, like, early 20s. If you are, I have a 25-year-old that's 4'11". If you look at her, you think she's 13. You would never think she's 25.
Man, that's crazy, yo. Like, that's just, it just blows, it like, and again, I'm still admitting to my ignorance, because it blows my mind. Like, I would like to talk to, you know, somebody who's been through it and understand where were you in your space of who you are that you could allow this person to come in? Because let's just be honest, they're not always snatching these kids and kidnapping them.
No.
That happens too. but they're alluring them in a way that as a parent, you're missing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not seeing what this child is needing, the attention that they're needing and missing that. And what's crazy is it's not always grown people. It's other
no.
kids who have been broken, luring your
that
kids
are leading these kids into this world.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Better. They just like, whatever, it's all good. You know, just come with me. Come hang with me at my friend's house. We all finna have some fun, right? And you thinking like, oh, they cool because they
we
had,
really
they
finna have fun.
Johnny's crib, but you know what I'm saying? They your kids are fun. Nah, it's bananas.
We're not
like,
great. Have fun. We're, no, this
no.
isn't about to be fun at all. This is actually about
right.
to be the worst day, time, month, week, whatever of my life. I have no idea what I'm getting
right.
into. Just like
right.
the young lady on the clip. I posted on Facebook
yeah,
that I hate my mom. And then you don't know just how much you really love your mom until you get in a situation
man.
That you can't get out of.
Everybody, you know what I'm saying, when you in a situation, that's who you call for first, man. I just can't believe that's not who you calling for. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's who you want. you get all big and bad, and I hate my mom. She doesn't understand me. She's just stupid, you know. And it's dumb stuff that you say because you're not grown. You're thinking you're grown. But
mm-mm.
I feel like as parents, because nowadays parents are so
lackluster, uninterested.
It's kind of like I heard somebody say one time, I don't want the TV raising my kids. You know, they don't
However,
want the child sitting in front of the TV. I want the TV raising my kids. But if you always busy, you come home from work, you go and take a shower, you get in the bed, you know, you make dinner, or you cook, or you eat, or whatever, or you ate on the way, you brought something in. The TV is raising your kids. Just
right,
the
TV is raising your kids.
You keep a roof over their head, and you putting clothes on their back. That's not raising a child. That's providing for a child. And there's a difference. And I think that's what
a big difference.
That's what I would want to get across to our listeners is for them to understand that in this, as bad as these predators are, and they're the worst scum of the earth. As parents, you
they're
have to make
still
sure
capturing
to
the attention.
Yeah, you got to protect your kids and don't allow them to fall victim to this. You know what I'm saying? Like this, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm gonna get my child some J's so won't nobody else have to get them. No, time is the most precious
gift
jewel
that you can give your child.
That you can give anybody. You can give anybody because that's the one thing you can't get back is time. You can replace everything, but you can't replace time.
You can't replace your time. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
and it's so easy to let that time slip away. It's so easy to walk in the house and walk past your kids if they're at home and go in because you done had a long day at work. Like I'm tired. I just want to take me a shower and get to bed. Maybe I want to, you know, fix something to eat. But there's no more eating at the dinner table, asking the kids, you know, hey, how was your day today? What was going on? Was there anything interesting happening? You have so many kids that want to be able to have that open relationship with their parents to let them know, hey, somebody followed me home or somebody, you know, was trying to talk to me and was asking me questions while I was getting off the bus, walking to the house. Like those are things that we have to prepare our kids for because it's a sick, sick world out there. Ayana, did you know that Atlanta City, the city we live in are around, is the number one sex trafficking capital of the world.
That disturbs me even more. You know what I'm saying? Because we've deemed Atlanta the black Mecca, right? It's the land of
the Bible Belt
for black folks. You know, everybody want to come here, want to be somebody, an entertainer, a rapper, a video vixen, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Entrepreneur. And when you think of the positiveness that African Americans try to bring to Atlanta, and then you have this negative bubble of, but it's the leading city in sex trafficking. It has what it say. Hold on, I got a number. I got a number. 290 million dollars in 2014. Yeah. It was reported that the underground sex economy in Atlanta, Georgia, $290 million.
Wow.
I'm like,
that's a lot of money that is being made.
Yeah, just let that number
and spent.
Sink in for a second, you know? Crazy. That's crazy. It's crazy.
That's a lot of money.
You know what I'm saying? This is the black mecca. This is the hopes and dreams. So you have to ask yourself, how many people came down here to fulfill their hopes and dreams and moved here for that, and in fulfilling their hopes and dreams have lost a child in this
Sex slavery.
Yes. It's disgusting that
sex slavery.
We even have to have this talk. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I think that's what bothers me the most, is we even have to
that
talk
we
about
even
this.
Have to have a topic about
yes.
our kids yes. being sold into sex slavery.
Yeah.
But what kind of sick, psycho, pedophile, like, I don't.
Exactly.
Let me go back and get a little raunchy. With all the grown women out here setting it out for free.
Girl, bye. Now I got to
why would you grown men want to pay to have sex with somebody's baby? If that's not the sickest in the world,
yeah,
they need to. And the crazy thing is, I mean, if you look at the laws and the people who have gotten arrested for maybe being a pimp or whatever, it's so disproportionate when it comes
right.
to the race. It's almost like if you're Caucasian, this is something you can do and it's acceptable.
That's a whole nother show. That's a whole justice system tainted from that. That's a whole. That to me is a whole nother realm, but it fits, and you're absolutely right. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting. I was having a conversation with a coworker who's not American, and
mm-hmm.
one of the conversations we were having today actually. We were talking about how in the difference in the cultures, right? So in their culture, you don't move out your parents' house. You don't move out your parents' house. You, if you're a woman and you get married, then you and your husband technically will move into his family's house.
But
if you're
living
man, so
in somebody's parents' house, whether it's yours or his.
Right, but you stay within the family. You know what I'm saying? So they keep their family very close together, very close knit. You know what I'm saying? So the family is always there. There's always a mother, a father, a grandmother. It's like the family is really, really close, right? But in our family, you know what I'm saying, we were talking about how, and I don't want to put my mom on blast, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Black families, the first thing your mama say when you reach a certain age is, I can't wait till you get out of my house.
Till you get out. I'm guilty of that.
Right.
Ooh, 18 can't come fast enough. Lord,
right.
you're going
to
be the first kid in college.
I can't wait to get out of my house. And
fly away.
So what happens is you're putting this implant in your kid's head of when you get grown. But society say they grown because they got a driver's license or they're 18. And really they're not grown. So you're putting them
they're
out there.
They're not grown. They got a long, Lord.
You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because that's how we are. That's a difference in culture. And then when you realize Atlanta's number one in sex trafficking, and then it's all these kids that have nowhere to go and no homes, but I'm like, were they feeling like their parents was like, you grown, you need
ready
to get
for them
house.
To go. Put them out.
Right. And it's like, and they felt like I had to go somewhere, I had to do something, and this person took me in. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that
it
something
could be
really. Yeah,
it could
it's
be.
Like really need to think about that, and Yeah, because that to me is like crazy to realize how different the cultures are, and that's one of the main differences.
Where what is her culture?
She's from India.
Okay, well, I can see that being their culture.
Yeah, and it's really strange because I guess I'm just like, how do we get these parents, right, to pay more attention to their kids, and how do we get these kids to understand that your parent is who you are supposed to go to?
You know what? Let me tell you. It used to be a time. Okay, so I know I'm a little bit older than you, but and we're both from the Midwest. Do you remember when there was this cue card? I guess that's what I'm gonna call it—a cue card with the big red hand that people would stick in your window, their window in their house. So if there was ever a time when you were out, like if you were a kid and you were out, maybe if you got lost or whatever, you could go to a house that had this big red helping hand in there, and they were, somebody in that house was going to make sure that you made it home safe, that if something happened to you in the streets and you needed an ambulance, a doctor, or whatever, these were the safe houses. You remember that?
I don't.
No.
That sounds real cool. No, I don't, but that sounds cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
You can't do that today.
Maybe I'm 45, so I don't think I'm that much older than you, but it used to be these cars that people would be like, they're real big. Like, you know how the alarm system like that, this house is protected by whoever the alarm company is. Well, they were these big signs that people would put in their windows, and they were the safe houses. And it seemed like everybody used to have these signs in their house. Like, that's gone. And then, now, I'm bringing back some things because as they started taking things away from us,
mm-hmm.
and we started getting more modernized, then you hear
mm-hmm.
so much more about kids being kidnapped, kids being raped, this, that, and the other. But there was also a time where you'd be watching TV and the TV had just shut down, and the lines would come up through the TV. But before that happened, it was always somebody that would make an announcement. It doesn't matter what channel you were watching, but somebody would come on and say, "It's 8 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are?" Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
You don't remember that either?
I do remember that.
You remember that?
I do. Yeah, I do remember that. I do. Yeah.
So it was like a public service announcement to remind parents.
That was
it's 8 o'clock.
The street lights
used to cut off. Exactly, because they cut off. It was like everything that used to happen that was put in play to, I would say,
mm-hmm.
help keep the kids safe is not there anymore. Because, I mean, I'm just thinking back. I remember sitting in front of the TV where this announcement comes on, just like the tornado warning, and someone would watch the TV and say, "It's 8
uh-huh.
o'clock. Do you know where your kids are?" And that was every night.
Yeah, I do.
Every night. I mean, but that was the way for somebody to remind you, just in case you worked all day and you were a little tired, but you got the TV on, we're going to remind you, hey, if you have kids and they're not in the house, it's getting dark, they need to be in the house.
See,
do you know where they at?
Right here, though. Remember back in the day, if you was down the street from your house, and you were doing something you had no business doing, somebody on that block would see, and it would be Miss So-and-so. And she would say, "Get your tail over here. You
get on
my
right now.
Bring you in here." Yes. Either she would handle you, or she taking you to your mama house so your parents can handle you. Now, please, you can't discipline these kids and these. First of all, as a parent, you can't discipline your own kids, let alone.
Right, because you put your hands on somebody else's kids, it's a fight in the hand. I do. I yank somebody else's kid up in a minute.
That Walmart and you be, you ain't gonna.
What?
You ain't gonna get me caught up.
Oh my God,
I'm gonna
bump that kid with the cart. You ain't finna come in here around me acting no fool. Get on over there, I'm gonna bump you right on over there with your mama.
bump somebody's kid with the cart. Man, you can't.
Girl, them kids is getting knocked down. Don't do that. Don't do that in front of me. I'm the wrong person.
Listen,
don't
man,
do it in front of me.
Let me be clear. I'm going to make a public service announcement. I do not have bail money. Do not put your hands on somebody else's kid.
You coming to me. You coming.
Let me ask you this, though. Like, with these, and I understand that it happens with young boys, too, but just with these young kids in general, with these social media pages and this like that, do you feel like parents should have full access to their kids' social media pages?
I do if the kids are a certain age. First off, if they are a certain age, and I would say under 14, they shouldn't even have a Facebook page.
Okay.
And if they do have a Facebook page, then we need all passwords, everything, because this is how grown people are communicating. You got everybody hitting you on Messenger. You have people create fake Facebook pages and just for this reason, so they can lure these kids into situations where they'll never come home. Meet me at the mall. Don't go to school today. You know, I'll be at the corner waiting on you. You know, talk to me about what's going on at home, this, that, and the other. God forbid it's a child that's an introvert
and has
a little bit of depression going on.
Mm.
You might as well say bye.
Most of them are sexually abused children, right? So already had something traumatic happen to them that have had them go into this shell, right? Or they come so far out the shell that now they 13 looking like they 22, right? So like I say, they're looking for somebody that's broken to begin with. You know what I'm saying? But I just like having access to the social media page, that kind of, like I have nieces. Right, and I know my niece has a Instagram. I actually just followed her the other day, and my nephew, he has one. And I follow them on Instagram and social media, and if they put something up, I'll hit them up and let them know, take that down, that's disrespectful, that don't need to be there.
But and I'm surprised they haven't blocked you.
But I wonder, you know what I'm saying, that's me seeing it. How do I not know somebody ain't hitting my niece up in her inbox? They probably are. You know, and that's what's disturbing the most, is that you think you're protecting them or you're allowing them to grow up and become into their own and be grown. He's 18, she's 17. But
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter how old they are, especially if they are not, you know, because I hate to say this, but most of these pedophiles that are looking for young people, they don't want a 15-year-old that looks like a 22-year-old. They would rather have a 15-year-old that looks like a 9-year-old. That's how their sick mindset, exactly. I know, right? You want to pass out, but that's just the way it is. They don't want... They don't want a grown woman. They want a little kid that looks like a little kid. That's what they want.
Right, but you be telling these kids, you probably said this to a girl before. She looked too grown.
Yeah.
Right? But now it's like, I need her to look grown to keep these fools away from her. Because if she looks like a little kid, they really, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, my God. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm glad you said that. When we take a break real quick, when we come back, we'll talk about what can you do? What are some of the things that parents can do to keep our kids safe? Pay some bills.
Did you know that most alarm companies call the police after the break-in? And most burglaries take place between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. when most people are not at home. Home alarm systems don't prevent burglaries. So why not be proactive? Get a Digital Guard Wireless HD home camera and monitoring system that can start as low as $684. Or you could lease a Digital Guard HD wireless home camera and monitoring system with no credit check for $50 a month. You'd only need a $275 deposit, and that's going to last you for 14 months. So call Digital Guard at 888
Okay. All right, everybody, go to Digital Guard, and look at the products that they have out there. You check out with the Ayana as a promo code, get your discount.
There you go. Let's
Ayana.
Yes, ma'am.
What would be the top three things that you would say that parents can do to help prevent their child from being lured into sex trafficking?
Okay. Number one, I'll do them backwards because I think anybody who's been listening know what my number one is. But I would say my top three. Number three would be know your kids' friends.
Okay.
If you letting them go stay at somebody's house or this or that, the old school, like you can't go over there. I don't know this child's mama. I don't know this child. You know your kids' friends, right? Know their families and that type of thing. Number two would be definitely know your kids. You know, you have to know your child. You can't just be sending them to school and then letting them come home and sit on the couch. You got to know that child. Keep that child active. Get them in some activities. They shouldn't just be sitting down. An idle mind is the devil's playground. You know what I'm saying?
What?
So hey, I'm just saying. And number one would be communicate. You have to communicate with your child. You have to know what's going on in their head, what they're feeling, how's their day going, and things like that. So, I mean, it all three of them encompass time. That's my top three. But what you got?
Well, I'll start with my number three. My number three would be nosy. Be a nosy parent. Go through. Hey, let me see your phone. Drop your phone right here. Let's see what you and your friends been talking about. Especially if you pay the phone bill. Be that nosy parent that your kids don't like, but they will appreciate it. Trust me. Know their surroundings, their whereabouts. Know where they are at all times. If they say they're going to the library, right past the library, peek in. You ain't got to go in. But make sure, because even if you feel like you can trust your child to do and go where they say they're going to go, you never know. Like, their peers have so much control over them that the control that we have is pretty much null and void after they get to middle school. You can think that your child is the coolest, whatever, but when they get to school, they could be a hell on wheels, and you just never know. So know your kid. Know their personality. You know what they're going to do, what they're not going to do. Like, do that. And the number one is make time. Make time. If their attitude changes, one day they're bubbly, the next day they feel like, you know, the world is caving in on them. Talk to them. Sit them down. Let them vent to you. Be their venting board, and listen to them, because you may not think that just sitting down listening and not saying anything, especially if it's something that you don't want to hear and you stop them from talking, that could be the worst thing ever.
Right.
That could be the worst.
Yeah, that cut off. Yeah, I think And every parent is probably guilty of this because it's truly unintentional. But when your child comes to you and they say something, and you be like, man, ain't nobody got time for that right now. I got to figure out how to pay these bills up here. I got time. You know, it's like that moment of cutting them off could alter their whole entire life. And you unaware of it because it's something so small. You know what I'm saying? It's just a moment. Yeah, it is. It's you're exactly right. It's very small and minute. And then it's like you don't, as a parent, you're thinking like, and you may come back later and be like, okay, so now what was you talking about? Because I was doing something earlier. What's up?
Right.
But you missed that moment.
You missed that moment. And now they're feeling like every time I want to talk to her, she's on the phone. Or every time I want to say something, like she's not available. And especially if it's a single parent household.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Lord mercy. Mercy. No, I mean, that's that's a whole other show in itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, and I'm not downing single parents. I give credit where credit's due, and as single mothers or single fathers, you're doing what you got to do to take care of yours. I get that. But I can imagine that it's a lot harder for you to take that time to spend with a child. You know what I'm saying?
And it is.
You got to do it. You got to do it more than anybody because there's no other parent to fill in. You know, like, remember back in the day when you had a field trip at school and, like, your mama or your daddy would come?
Girl, I missed no field trips. I went to all the field trips. And they still do field trips so the parents can chaperone. Now, whether they do or not is a different story, but they still, kids still go on field trips.
Yeah, but
I would take off work and go on my kids' field trip.
If the mama like, I ain't got time to take off. Let me fill out this form. I ain't got time to take off work. You asked for these different
Right.
I'm going to
fill out the form and pay the money.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Well, Yana, let's take a call. We got a caller with the last four of 8840.
All right, let's do it.
Good evening, caller.
Hey,
you're
I thought you chimed in kind of late.
Hey. Kind of late?
On, people? Yeah, I'm
That's okay. We're on here talking about sex trafficking in the United States.
Big down in Baltimore.
You in Baltimore?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about it. What's going on in Baltimore?
Man, these girls down here, they getting snatched up. Some of them coming up missing. Not saying that it's right, but, you know, these little fast-tailed little girls want to go out here and see the real world. And then when these consequences happen, you know, they want to fall victim. But, yeah, it's bad down here.
Is it worse than Atlanta? Because we found out that Atlanta is the number one capital of the world when it comes to sex trafficking. So, I know you said you chimed in late, but let me ask you this. And you said the little girls, they're dressing grown, they're out here, they're being fast, and they're getting snatched up. So that's a sign. Like, where are these the mamas? Where the mamas at?
That's a good question. The thing is, these mamas, they trying to be their friends instead of being their mothers.
Whoa. There you go.
Yeah.
When you talk about the mamas, where do you fathers at?
But I said mamas because as a little girl, you know what I'm saying? Your mama is your first. Like, hey, my mama's pretty. My mama's this. My mama's doing it. Like, that's your first. You know, you want to look up to your mama. You want to be just like your mama. Little boys shouldn't want to be like their mamas.
Right.
So that's why I said, where's the mamas?
Like I said, I mean, one, the mothers are trying to be the mothers. Two, it's a lot of teenage moms that had these kids, which still falls under, like I said, the same thing. You know, they still trying to be their friend. And then also, like I said, I don't know how it is in Atlanta, but down here, these kids are disrespectful. Like, these little girls that come through the inner harbor, and I just be looking at them with the mouths that, you know, the way that they talk. And sometimes it all depends on how I feel, you know, what mood I'm in. I'll ask them. You know, I can be standing there, like I said, on beat on my patrol car, and I'll be like, excuse me, what you want? I said, no, I just got a quick question, you know, no disrespect. I said, do you talk like that in front of your mother? And a handful will be like, yeah, and I wish he would say something. And then, some of them be like, no, you know. But the ones that say, you know, no or whatever, I'll be like, well, that's good. You know what I'm saying? Represent your parents or your moms, you know, at all times. You know what I'm saying? Act like a young lady. You know, and I try to encourage them. But, yeah, these little girls, you know what I'm saying? It's bad. And then, you know, a lot of them, they lie about their ages and, you know. Like I said, I don't know how bad it is now in Atlanta, but Baltimore has been brought up a couple of times, you know, with human trafficking.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is there any specific area? Because here in Atlanta, again, what I found out is this is one area, and it's called College Park. And they say that is the most heavily trafficked area over there in the area, but it's 10 minutes from the airport. Like, the airport is right there in College Park. And there's this big, huge sign in the airport that says, you know, it has this little girl looking sad. And yeah, it's like human trafficking is illegal in Atlanta. But I'm thinking, that's like a billboard, that's some stuff you would see outside. So is there one particular area where kids are coming up missing the most, or is it just Baltimore, period?
I mean, if I had to take an educated guess, I'm going to say Baltimore, period. But I think like majority of the places where they're probably grabbing up a lot of these little young girls are like at the train stations and bus stations, you know, like
yeah.
I said, with the runaways.
Yeah, that's what it say. That's what the statistics say. Is most of them
are
runaways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are y'all finding any, like, are there any success stories? Are these girls coming up missing and they're never being found? Or in some cases, you're able to find them? Are they even really just, I know I'm shooting questions out because I'm just, it's not hard to believe, but until I started doing the research on this, I just was like, you hear about it, but you don't hear about it being this bad. But when you talk about 24.9 million kids in America so far that have gotten snatched up and are being sold for sex slaves, that's a lot of kids. 24.9 million.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know if how it is down there, like I said, in Atlanta, but we got this thing called Murder, Inc. that's on Instagram. And I was just on there. It's funny that y'all are even talking about human trafficking because they just had a guy just arrested just recently within the last couple of days for luring a girl from some other state, got her here, met her on Facebook, got her here in Baltimore. She was 14, I want to say. And was pimping her out, you know. And I mean, I don't know how he actually got caught. Like I said, I would have to go back and, you know, look at the article, but he wound up being arrested, you know, for human trafficking of a little 14-year-old.
It's kind of like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but that was, like I said, that was just here in Baltimore just within the last couple of days.
Okay, so you're a police officer. Are they giving out lengthy sentences? Like, what are they doing to these? I know they have to register as a sex offender, but like how much, what's the average amount of time that that the judge is giving somebody who's been convicted of sex trafficking?
I probably have to, like I said, really look it up, but truthfully, this judicial system down here in Baltimore is a joke. It really is. It's a joke because, I mean, we got murderers, you know, gun offenders that's out here walking the streets. And I'm not sure if y'all are aware of what's going on down in Baltimore, though, but we have, like, so much corruption within the police department. And, you know, so bad that, you know, officers now, like, the morale is just, it's crazy. Like, you go to talk to somebody or you go to arrest them and, you know, you within your limit of arresting them, and the next thing you know, you're getting a lawsuit on you. And because the corruption is so bad, you know, with the police department, the jurors were supposed to be, you know, with their peers or whatever, they paying out. You know,
they're paying. Oh Lord.
Yeah, I'm trying to give you a prime example real fast without, you know, making a long story short. They had a guy. I was watching the Baltimore Raids a couple years ago. Was in the street and, you know, being aggressive. Talking about, yeah, arrest me, and so on. So they wind up macing them, taking them down to the ground, you know, arresting them for, I think it was like disorderly conduct or whatever it may be. And this Negro just got $75,000. $75,000. They talking about police brutality. But he was in the, if you watch, oh man, I wish I was able to just, you know, show y'all the video, or if you go on YouTube and pull it up. It's the guy, he had dreads in his hair, and black guy, a little short, and he's like, you know, arrest me, take me to jail, just being real aggressive. And like I said, they pepper sprayed him, they pulled him by the back of his head, which that's probably what really got the police jammed up. They pulled him by the back of his head to take him down to the ground, and then they placed him under arrest. And that was it. No further injuries. He sued for like $1 million, and they wound up settling for $75,000.
But don't they teach them those type of tactics in when they're going through?
I'm saying the point that I'm making is no matter what we do, if they sue, they're going to get a payout. And now I had to research a little bit more. I think what they're saying is that it's falling back on the officers. They have to pay a certain percentage of, you know, that fee. So if I got sued for $75,000, I have to pay a certain percentage of that, you know, out of my pay until it's paid off.
Wow.
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
Yeah,
by you saying that.
When it comes down to this sex trafficking and all of this, it's almost what I'm hearing is the police ain't really policing because they don't want to.
Because if we do, absolutely. Yes. That's what I'm saying. So since they know in Baltimore that there are so many issues with the police department, mm-hmm. it's almost like catch me if you can.
Yeah.
They have certain units for that, you know. So what they do is, if they, you know, like find out who it is, they write a warrant, you know. Then they can, you know, serve the warrant on the person, whatever. Though that they, unfortunately, you can't get out of that though, you know. So I mean, if somebody, you know, try to sue, you know, then I mean, it is where they got to take that chance though. But like a lot of times, how they find these girls, because they prostitutes on the street, so. They normally get, like, arrested for prostitution, or the officer, just say, for example, like me, I'll just run that name, you know, if they give me the right name, and they'll come up in the system as a missing person, you know, whatever. And then once, you know, further investigation, you know what I'm saying, they might tell, you know, who that pimp is, which normally if they got a pimp, it's human trafficking, 9 times out of 10.
Right, especially if they're young girls. And because we were going to do this topic, I took a class at my job on how to identify if, like, something happens, the girls up and they come into the hospital, how to identify them in a way. It, you know, we have to keep them separate from the person, especially if we know they're underage, and there are specific questions that we ask them that will trigger if they answer this way, you know, call the police, blah, 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 blah. So I took this class last week so that I would be able to identify if I see a situation like this come through the hospital, because, you know, they catch STDs. And until I took this class, like, and start researching for this topic, I knew a little bit because I've kind of sort of been in that situation with somebody that I know that got caught up in this sex trafficking game, and it was just a mess. Like, that whole thing was a mess. And it's like, once they get arrested for prostitution, and they tell them, the courts, you know, I'm not doing this on my own free will. It's kind of like this young lady, you know, she has a blemish on her record. They weren't offering resources, even though I'm telling you, I'm in here, I have bruises on me, fractures, you know, I got medical records. You still want to keep this on my record instead of helping me in a situation where you know that I was doing this against my will. So, and you're a police officer, so you know that I'm, you know, sometimes this happens. Instead of, like, there's no type of way that help can be offered to these young ladies when they get arrested for prostitution, and you can just see, especially if they're coming in there not, oh, that's my pimp, you know, that's my boyfriend, I love him, he's not doing this. If they're on the, hey, this is me, somebody forced me, this is not something that I wanted to do, there's no kind of help that they can offer these young ladies, but hey, here, you know, you got to go through this program, you're going to be on probation, but yet I'm going to send you back out here to the same man that beat your ass and put you on a corner.
If I understand your question, just to make sure I understand, you're saying in light of arresting them, try to put them in some type of program if they're arrested for prostitution?
Help if they're arrested for prostitution and they're saying, you know, pretty much you the officer, you came and you grabbed somebody for prostitution. And when she gets in your car, she says, thank you for saving me. Like, I'm sitting here with a black eye because the person you saved me from, I've been gone from my house for the last month. I don't know where I'm at. I've been, you know, they've been selling me this, that, and the other. What are the options at that point when you have them? Is it straight, I'm going to take you to jail because you're out here prostituting and now you have this on your record?
Right.
The likelihood of a patrol officer actually locking the, a person up is like a slim to none. A lot of times when the prostitutes down here get arrested, it's through like a sting. So the few times that I worked undercover, you know, I never worked with the vice per se. I mean, I was always the, I guess like the uniform officer, you know, like I'll be waiting at the spot where they, you know, the plainclothes officers bring the ladies to, and then, you know, they go from there though. But I would think that they could call, you know, like the state's attorney, explain it to them, you know, the situation, and then, like I said, hopefully try to put them in some type of, you know, program or shelter, you know, for the night. And then in light of arresting them, they probably could issue them a criminal citation where they would have to show up to court later, and then they can explain to the judge, you know, at that court date if they show up, you know, the same situation, and then hopefully get further help. You know,
okay.
But like I said, a lot of them, what they do, how they actually get hooked is off of drugs. It start out with weed, and then from the weed, they want that, you know, that extra high. And then from there, you know, it just goes on to, you know, newer things. And then before you know it, you know, to get that high again, they out there selling their body, whether they got a pimp or not. But majority of them, like I said, do have pimps. You know.
I'm sure.
Like, crazy that we even, and then we talking about it, and then it's like these women get caught up in it. And then, like you said, they being forced to do something, but they can get arrested. And now they got to go to jail, but it's like I was forced to do this, I'm not doing this because this is something that I want to do, I'm doing this because this is something that I'm being forced to do, but because I'm being forced to do this and I got caught by a police officer,
now I'm going to jail. And you would think that going to jail and getting out of that situation is something that they would welcome, but I'm scarred,
right.
And now I have a blemish on my record, and
but then we don't have nothing set up
to the
help
them. My life.
But that's it's not really set up to help them. Like, you know, what do you do when you get caught up in it? Let's say you get to the hospital. Now you like you telling her like, yeah, I'm in this situation. Or you talking to the nurse and you're saying I don't want to go back with him. This is how I'm stuck. But now what does she do? What does she have to go back to? Is she feeling abandoned by her family? You know what I'm saying? Like how do you get back to getting back to a normal life? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the key. Trying to figure that out too, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, to kind of like make sure we stay on, you know, because I don't want us to like bail left from the prostitution with the human trafficking, which is all in the same. But a lot of times, you know, the ones that are like with the human trafficking are from like different states or different countries, you know, so
right.
It kind of like, if you run up against somebody and they from, like you said, like on the street prostituting or whatever they may be, and they from a different state or a different country, normally a light bulb goes off. You know, it's like,
right.
You're not even from here and you out here prostituting. Why are you out here prostituting? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's,
mm-hmm.
I think that's when a further investigation comes in that, okay, then this girl, she's 16, she out here prostituting and she's not even from here. Yeah, 9 times
right.
out of 10, you know,
right.
That's on some human trafficking, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in and let pick your brain on this topic tonight. It is real deep, real heavy, and we have to do something. We have to do something. So me and Ayana are going to share some resources tonight for if there's anyone listening, if they you know have a family member that's caught up in this, and just, you know, to share with people, to share with people. Ayana,
true.
Well, let me thank you so much for calling. I'm going to put you back in queue.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm going to get back to work, but I enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully, I can come in on the next one, whatever subject y'all talk about.
Hey, thank you so much. We'll keep you posted.
All right, ladies, y'all take it easy.
All right. You
too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ayanna.
Yes, ma'am.
So if there's people out there that want to get off the streets and want to get help, if they can get to a phone, let's give them a phone number to call.
Okay, so I found this number. It's a National Human Trafficking Hotline, and that number is 888-373-7888. That number is for if you see somebody that you think is being human trafficked, is that is caught up in human trafficking. If it is you, they're open. It's 24/7. It's a hotline. And also, like, if you're calling in because you see something that's suspicious, it is anonymous. So it is again, that number is 888-373-7878. They are there 24/7 to kind of help these people get out of these situations. And that's man, we just got to take advantage of some of these resources. It's just crazy.
We have
out here.
To.
Wouldn't
okay,
888-373-7888.
If
yep.
you're in trouble, call these people. They are a victim service provider. They will help you. They will make sure that you get off the streets. I want to
yes.
thank everybody for tuning in tonight, that whether you're listening online or over the phone. We are into our teen young adult segment of Against All Odds. February is Teen Domestic Violence Month, so we will be touching on domestic violence one of these weeks coming through. I also want to let you all know that the week of the 19th, we will be airing either on Tuesday or Wednesday night, probably on Tuesday night, but we'll keep you all posted of the change, and it's just for that 1 week. Ayanna, you want to?
Man,
what?
Hey,
what?
Take time and spend time with your kids, yo. That's time. Time is precious.
Very.
Time is precious. Yep.
Thank you all again. Make sure you tune in next Thursday at 8 p.m. on victimstoppers.com. Go to Digital Guard and check out what we have to offer. Purchase something. Check out under Renita or Ayanna or Against All Odds and receive a discount. Talk to you later, everybody. Good night.
Later. Good night.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way. Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.